From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on...
on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
We need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Welcome to Rebels Reactions, where Coffee with Kenobi examines Star Wars Rebels through a critical lens. In this special episode, we are going to discuss the final episode of 2015, Legacy, along with the first episode of 2016, Princess on Lothal. This is two phenomenal episodes, and joining me for this discussion tonight is the legendary James Howell.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good, doing good. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'm happy to have you on, and definitely I'm glad we were able to work this out to get together. And of course, for those of you that don't know who I am, because probably many of you don't, my name is Aaron. I forgot to introduce myself in the intro, but hey, it works. I'm Aaron Harris. I'm the host of the show, and we're going to have a great discussion tonight. Now, little different format than what we normally hear on the show. Normally, if you listen to the show, you know, we go through the show and analyze through a critical lens the entire episode. But since we're joining these two episodes tonight in this one special edition, wanted to hit on some highlights, especially that really, in my opinion, really focused in on character development for Ezra. Because both of these episodes had a tremendous amount of growth for our young Padawan. So, of course, right at the beginning of Legacy, we start with probably one of his biggest signs that he's growing in the Force is the vision he has, the vision of his parents in the prison and all the different clips that he sees and realizing that his parents are alive. Almost what I envision Luke probably saw on Dagobah, when he was seeing Han and Leia in trouble and wanting to know if they had. When you first saw this episode and you saw that vision, what did you take away from that?
Well, the funniest thing to me is that when he focuses on what he calls the Lolth Cat, mm-hmm. This is just where my mind goes. I immediately thought of the internet where they're called lolcats, you know, where everybody pastes the pictures of the cats doing stupid things on the internet. For some reason, that's the big image that popped in my head. I know that really doesn't have anything to do with the episode, but for some reason, I just kept thinking, was that intentional? Did they intentionally call that a lolcat because for the internet? I don't know.
It could be. I mean, I know they called it a Lothcat mainly because it's from Lothal, but that they could have gotten it from there too. Made one of the subtle innuendos Filoni likes to throw in his episodes.
Yeah, I think somebody just threw that in there just for giggles.
They did it to mess with us. Absolutely.
So, yeah. But no, but to answer your question, I think Ezra's growing like really strong in the Force, and I'm very excited to see where his visions are going to lead him, because they seem to be calling him towards a bigger destiny, and I'm really excited to see what that's going to be.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely going to be an exciting time for him, because he's growing quite a bit in his strength and the Force. And we see that throughout this episode, too, as he's focusing in not only on trying to analyze his own vision that he had of standing on the cliff and looking out and seeing his parents in the cell, and of course the Loath Cat, and then the shrouded figure up on the cliff above him, all trying to interpret where that's supposed to lead him and what it's going to be, and of course shrouded the future is, as Yoda once said. So Kanan warns him against it, but it definitely shows a sign of growth on his part, because as we go out through the episode, he then encounters, of course, while they're trying to escape Garal and get to Lothal, to where he can search for his parents to see if they actually did escape from the prison, like they found out, but there was a prison break. We see some interesting side of Ezra. He's very anxious. He's very excitable, very excited, very worried, very on edge, per se. Looking as he's running around the ship, looking for his helmet, trying to get everybody together so they can leave. It's very almost overly anxious, like Luke trying to load up his X-wing to leave Dagobah.
Yeah. I was actually going to mention that it's very reminiscent of Luke in both A New Hope and Empire, where even Yoda has to tell him that, you know, you're always looking to the future when you need to be focused on where you are right now. And, you know, he's so excited to see what's going on with his parents that he's not directly focused on what's happening right now. And that can cost him.
No, absolutely. And it loses and keeps his focus somewhere else than what it needs to be. Because when you start dealing, as we've seen from other episodes, whether it be through the Clone Wars or even through the movies themselves, watching the growth of Anakin Skywalker, as his emotions got more into his decisions took that dark turn. And throughout this episode, as we see Ezra go, I mean, yes, he's growing stronger in the Force. We see it in his actions as he's fighting. Later, he fights Kallus and the Inquisitors. We see that almost anger for them interfering in his mission at this point, which is to check on his parents, because for years he thought they were dead. He never thought he'd ever have this opportunity to see or do anything with his parents again, and now he's got his three biggest enemies showing up and getting in his way. Kallus, the seventh sister, I just blanked on their name. The
seventh sister, yeah.
Yes, and the fifth brother, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I believe it's fifth brother. I'm pulling up my notes right now. But yeah, so he's got the three of them coming, and you see almost an unbridled rage as he charges Kallus and is taking him down and taking out the others. Then, of course, the Inquisitors show up, and he charges them, and if it wasn't for Kanan blasting that door closed, who knows where, what path he would have followed at that point. Because he was furious at that point that door closed. He was ready to take the fight to him. He wanted, I mean, there was a very dark nature about him in that fight that I was seeing.
Yeah, definitely.
So we definitely got some things we're going to need to be watching for Ezra as we go throughout the future, and see where he goes, not only with his growth in the Force, but with the light and the dark as well, because we're starting to see a little bit of that emotional dark side start to flow a little bit in his combat. And I also thought one thing, to step back into the episode a second, when he is scrolling through the prison records trying to figure out where to go, because they got the list of the prisoners who escaped, and he's using the Force to try to determine who he would need to seek and follow. It almost reminded me of just one of those little spinning games. You just spin, and wherever your finger drops, that's where it hits. And to me, there was not much Force in that.
I'm just randomly going to pick a name out. There you go. This guy.
Yeah, S10. S10. Okay, we'll name it after my pickup truck.
I just wonder how the Force works through electronics. That would be like me using the Force to Google search, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
How does that work?
Exactly. I can understand manipulating things and bringing a lightsaber to you and moving stuff around, but to understand the electronics behind it, the Force binds us, it surrounds us, it keeps us all, binds everything together.
The Force is Bill Gates.
The Force is Bill Gates. You never know. Why is what he is. So, you know, we have a great time. A lot of little humor throughout the episode too, because they try to keep it as serious as it gets. They do try to keep it a little.
Well, they had to have some sort of like fun stuff at the beginning, because it gets really sad at the end, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. And I think probably one of my favorite little comedic parts to this particular episode is Chopper. And Chopper, they tend to bring Chopper in for all the comedic elements of the show. It's either him or Zeb are doing all the funny stuff. And in this case, we got Chopper as the firefight begins with the stormtroopers. And between Zeb and Kanan and Ezra, he ducks behind a bunch of barrels and just sits there. Does nothing. He just sits there. He hides. And as, of course, after they get away from the stormtroopers and away from the Inquisitors, and they're making their escape to the Ghost, and Kanan makes some smart aleck comment to him about, thanks for the ham, Chopper. They say, keep going off. Because he's just ducked behind waiting.
You can always rely on Chopper.
I tell you, he's by far. Yeah. I love all the droids we have through Star Wars with R2. Of course, all the hype now with BB-8. BB-8's becoming everybody's fan favorite. But I tell you, out of all of them, I still am liking Chopper the best. I don't know why. He's just his attitude, I think it is. He's got this old beat up. You know who he reminds me of?
Yeah, who's that?
You know who Jeff Dunham is?
Yes.
He reminds me of Walter.
Yeah, I can see a little bit of Walter and Chopper.
I can see a little bit of Walter and Chopper. And the attitude, the smart aleckness, all of it just is, I can see it right there. And
he's like that friend from high school that everybody had that always played practical jokes on everybody and walked around and hit you upside the head when you were least expecting it. And I think everybody had a friend like that. And if you didn't have a friend, that's because you were that friend.
Exactly.
You are a Chopper.
You are Chopper. Yes. You know, of course, one thing I always do is when I'm recording the shows, I always have the episode on in the background. So I got it on right now, watching it. And Ezra, in that fight with Kallus, Kallus is charging him with two stormtroopers and his big blaster, and they're just blasting away. And he is deflecting those laser bolts like it's nothing. I mean, he's deflecting it like the Jedi did during the Clone Wars, like we would see Obi-Wan and Anakin do. I mean, just like second nature to him at this point. So he's really grown in the Force, and it shows in his combat.
That's interesting. Like, yeah, I would really It would be really interesting, I think, if they took him down a dark path, kind of like they did with Anakin. But I don't know. Being Disney, I doubt they will. But it would be really interesting to see him at least tempted by the dark side for a little while. Even if, of course, they would bring him back or whatever. But I'd really like to see him experiment with the dark side.
Well, absolutely. And it's going to, I got a feeling it's going to come. I mean, we saw, by now everybody has seen the mid-season teaser they released before they did the Princess of Lothal episode, which came out just a week or two before. And it was very, very action-packed, very intense. And you see Ezra dealing with some of the dark side at that point, which tells me they're going to take him down that dark path. You see him talking to somebody who almost honestly appears to be Darth Maul and calling him master. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Cause that teaser was very, very intense. Mm-hmm. Which is why after the holidays, the second half of the season kicked in with Princess from Lothal, I was kind of like, which we'll of course talk about here in a little bit as we wrap up Legacy. I was almost a little not as thrilled with Princess from Lothal as I thought I would be, because I was expecting especially from that teaser a lot more action, but that's for later in the episode. But of course, we have the Empire show up on Garel, and they're all trying to escape. And of course, Kanan and Ezra and Chopper, of course, they take off for Lothal to go find Ezra's parents. And the ghost with Hera and Sabine turn around and Zeb to help our captured Commander Sato and Rex on the command ship. And very interesting on how they took out that deflector dish. And again, this is where the comedic factor comes in, because she just rams it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Wasn't that sort of a callback to Force Awakens? Because I don't know, maybe I'm mixing. I've only seen Force Awakens twice so far. I know I'm a terrible fanboy, but everybody else on my Facebook feed is like, oh, I'm going to showing number 12 today. And I'm like, oh, I've seen it twice.
If it makes you feel better, I've only seen it twice. So.
All right. Well, I'm in good company then.
Yes, you are.
But wasn't there? I can't remember. Wasn't there like a scene where they had to where they were trying to escape like a tractor beam or something? And they had to shoot it, or am I misplacing something?
Because it wasn't the tractor beam. It was when I know where you're talking about, because it's a very similar flight path that they took in Rebels.
Yeah, because Rey had flip the Falcon around or something.
Wasn't the Falcon. It was Finn and Poe Dameron when they were escaping the Star Destroyer and the TIE Fighter. They flew up underneath the TIE Fighter and they were blasting the turbo laser turrets as they went underneath. And it was almost a very similar trajectory that they were going through.
Okay.
At that point. As the ghost was following up underneath. But at this point, you know, Finn apparently is a better shot than Zeb. And Zeb missed. So Hera had to ram it where Finn was hitting it dead on. So I guess we learned from that. Finn is a stormtrooper and they can now hit stuff. Whereas.
Who knew?
I tell you, it's amazing what they do. Amazing what 30 years of being after seeing a Death Star blown up will do to you. They actually learned to hit the broadside of a barn. So, but they did their escape. And of course, we wind up being on Lothal again, which we had been on Lothal for several episodes. We'd been on Garal, we'd been in space. Lothal had been the planet they were escaping from. And of course, then we see Ezra's visions all coming into life. We see them actually happening. The Loath cat that shows up at his parents' burnt out house. Then, of course, they're chasing down the Loath Cat through the city, trying to catch it, find out, hopefully lead him to where his parents are. Then we end up out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the mountains, and there's that shadowed figure that he sees, of course, up on the ledge. And it winds up being the old Lothal governor, who did know his parents and was able to inform him of the fate of his parents, which, of course, unfortunately, was exactly what he thought it was originally, which was, of course, his parents were unfortunately gone. And this, of course, is where the episode takes its sad twist at this point, because we start seeing, we see almost Ezra lose his parents for a second time. And, of course, the emotion that goes into that, after thinking they're dead and finding out they're alive, and, of course, finding out they're dead again, just kind of blows everybody's, will blow anybody's mind. So, but they did a very good scene at the end of this episode, which, of course, ties into the gut-wrenching, you know, part of it, where you see him, Ezra, by himself standing on the cliff after he's been told that his father is, or his parents are dead. And we see them standing there, and all of a sudden we go into this double, he's standing on the cliff and you see that double moon rising. And almost you get the same type of feel you got from Tatooine, from the double sunset there on A New Hope, when Luke's just standing there watching, searching and doing his soul searching for the episode. And of course he has another vision where he's talking to his parents about the future and about what they've done and how proud they are of him. And it was a very, very moving episode all together. What were your thoughts about toward the end there when we see the that double sunset, the double moon rising there?
Yeah, it definitely brought back images of Tatooine. My question was, where did that city come from? Because he's looking out at a vast landscape, and in his vision, there's like a big like crystal like city. Was that there before? Is that supposed to be the future? I wasn't really sure.
Well, I'm thinking because you see where he goes from standing on that cliff to standing over to standing on that observation tower where we saw him, where he was first found at the in the very first episode, Spark of Rebellion. That's where he was living. He was in that tower, and that tower looked out over the main port city of Lothal, where he lived. And where a lot of the interaction from the show came. So I was assuming, of course, and I never haven't heard anything about that, is that that was Lothal in its prime before the Empire.
Okay.
It was that port city in its prime, because they're talking about how they don't want the Empire to come. All this will change because the Empire's coming. So, and of course, none of it looks like that now. So I always believed that my impression was that was Lothal of the past.
Yeah, because I was a little confused. Well, I wasn't sure if he was having just a vision of his parents, like talking to him in the present, or if he was reminiscing about like a conversation that had happened before.
It was always my understanding he was very young when his parents were taken. I don't necessarily would see him having that serious of a conversation with them at that young of an age. It'd be like me taking my 3-year-old, looking out at the moon and having a heart-to-heart conversation with her, and she would just look at me and be like, I want a snack.
Yeah, yeah. My son's 4 years old. That'd be the same response I would get.
This is great, Dad. Can I go play now?
Happy meal, please.
Yeah, exactly. Happy meal. Oh, I'm glad it's not just mine.
But yeah, it just threw me off because they were talking about like the Empire was coming and stuff, and I knew like they'd already been there. So I was a little, I wasn't really sure exactly what was happening in that situation.
Yeah. Because I got the, that scene is actually playing right now on my TV. And because the whole scenery changes. They're out, but he's instead of staring off in the desert, he's now standing in the tower. He's looking out at the city, and behind the cities is water, almost like an ocean. It's almost like he was transported to the past. It was almost like his vision took him into the past to communicate with his parents.
Oh, okay.
It's the way I'm interpreting it, because they're talking to him as if he he's that age right now, not as if he was, you know, 3 or 4 at that point. And it's very, very serious, very emotional, and they see it. And of course, it ends with, you know, Kanan coming up and joining them, and they just sit there and look out into space, look out in the double moon. And of course, one character we did meet in this episode who we briefly touched on, but of course will come back and play a big role in the next episode as well, is the former governor of Lothal, Ryder Azadi, Ryder. We'll call him Ryder.
Ryder works.
Ryder works. He, of course, definitely was a big influence in the next episode, but he was the one that, of course, he saw in the vision standing up on the hill. He's the one who saw his, who was able to finally confirm, yes, your parents were alive, but in the jailbreak, it ended. They're gone. And I never realized that. At the end, they now have a big Disney logo at the end of the credits. Teach me to watch the credits more often. Anyway.
Yeah, speaking of credits and Ryder Azadi, I wanted to throw this out there. I was watching the credits, and I noticed, like, the voice actors. Clancy Brown is the voice of Ryder Azadi, which –
kidding.
Yeah, which anybody who's listening who doesn't know who Clancy Brown is, watch the original Highlander and the guy Kurgan, who's, like, the nastiest, biggest guy in the world who's trying to kill everybody. That's Clancy Brown, and he's also in one of my favorite shows of all time, Carnival, which was on HBO, which was a predecessor to like Game of Thrones. Yep. and like True Blood, any all those like special effects shows with like deep storytelling and, you know, blood guts. which what show doesn't need those?
Rebels.
All the shows I watch, well, most of them. But he was Brother Justin, which was another very well done villain. And it's weird because Clancy Brown is known for his villains, and so it's kind of interesting to see him play a good guy like a like Ryder Azadi, because that's not something you typically see him do.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. He and he's got quite the history. I mean, Clancy Brown is a Star Wars veteran. I mean, he did voices through Clone Wars as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Clancy Brown was Savage Opress.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Another villain. Big surprise.
Yes, he played Savage. So he's got a history with Star Wars. So definitely, so I'm not surprised at all they pulled him back in. I'm actually kind of glad they did. He was very good at what he does. He's doing a lot of voice acting lately. So good for him being pulled back into Star Wars.
Yes, well, he has a very recognizable voice too. That it's like really low,
exactly
menacing.
I would say my favorite thing I've seen him in, of course, was actually probably has been he was in Shawshank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Another villain.
Oh, yes.
See, the guy's great at villains.
He plays a lot of villains. So, and of course, Joe Clancy's, I'm glad you pointed that out. I didn't realize that was Clancy Brown. I did not get to go through the credits like I normally do on these when I prep for the show. Normally I have a little extra time to go through the credits and everything, but with combining both shows, I just ran out of time. So thank you for pointing that out.
And that's what I'm here for, to provide illumination.
Absolutely. Well, that, of course, ends, of course, the episode legacy.
Hey, it's Dan Z.
And Corey Club.
From Coffee with Kenobi. And we are excited to let you know about the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps.
Yeah, Dan, you remember those cards that came out in 1977, the good old days? Well, they're back again. Yeah, so it's the Star Wars Card Trader app. It has them all, as well as fantastic images from The Force Awakens, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and much more.
Absolutely. You've got your favorite characters, memorable scenes, you've got key moments. It's all there. You get credits every day for free from the app, which is available from iTunes or Google Play. Open packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and enjoy these amazing Star Wars memories as you take your first step into a larger world.
There are so many different sets to choose from also, and there's so many great cards to chase. There's special inserts, there's rewards for completing sets and variants. It's everything you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Brief hiatus through the holidays, and of course, we open up with Princess from Lothal. Or Princess on Lothal, not from Lothal. Our princess is from Alderaan. So, of course, we open up with, you know, Kanan breaking the bad news to Hera via a holographic message that, of course, we don't have Ezra's parents, that they had passed away. And, of course, the governor's there, Ryder. And, of course, they are, of course, not happy. They're disappointed. But, of course, they did say that Ryder breaks the news. Hera breaks the news that they're getting some new ships from Senator Organa because of their recent losses on Gorel when they were ambushed by the Empire. And, of course, they're getting three cruisers. And, of course, it cuts to space, and they're the three cruisers arriving at Lothal, which is still under an Imperial blockade. And, of course, how do they get them through? They send a princess. And we get our first glimpse of Princess Leia Organa in this episode, which is probably one of the biggest cameos they could have gotten for Rebels at this point. Of course, unfortunately, it's not. Of course, it's not Carrie Fisher. I'm actually trying to look up that lady's name right now who did it.
I already looked it up for you.
Oh, you are the man.
Her name is Julie Dolan.
Julie Dolan. I knew it was Julie. I couldn't remember her last name. But Julie Dolan, first, she's got a history. She's done Leia in the video games. So that's why they tapped her to do Leia's voice. And she does a phenomenal young Leia.
That's the thing. Is like you can't really get Carrie Fisher to do young Leia anymore because, well, she's kind of had 30 years of cigarettes and alcohol. Her voice is not the same. And it's like you can like it was awesome when they had like Billy Dee Williams on there because Billy Dee Williams sounds exactly like he did back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie Fisher does not.
No, she does not. And unfortunately she did have a little rougher life than anybody would have wanted her to have, and she's come through it. More power to her.
Yes, and she's still awesome, and I love her.
Still awesome, and she did great in The Force Awakens. But Julie Dolan really nailed this performance as Leia. She had the tone, the attitude. She hit it head on. And of course, they decide that they need to get those ships from her. And of course, that's she was trying to deliver them. But of course, the problem is now the Empire has made it a little more difficult because they know Alderaan's ships tend to go missing to the Rebels. Somehow the Rebels always wind up stealing these ships from Alderaan. So they clamp them down with magnetic locks. They get TIE fighters to protect them. They have AT-ATs or AT-ATs, whatever you want to call them. They have the Imperial walkers walking around protecting them, and of course, squads of stormtroopers. And of course, Leia has that same sassy attitude that we see in A New Hope. That She will start for a stormtrooper type attitude. And she says, as she, of course, she first interacts with Ezra and, of course, Kanan, as she's telling them to put their helmets on and be quiet so they don't get busted by the garrison lieutenant. But they definitely an interesting concept where now they have to figure out how to steal the ships. And the ships that they brought, you know, weren't my... I was picturing they would get a lot more of the kind of like blockade runner ships. These were quite a different design. So, of course, we see a lot of interesting things going on because Ezra's still on edge still because of the whole everything that just happened with his finding out about his parents. So he's like, he's questioning almost everything Leia tells him at this point. So what are overall through this episode, what did you think of how Ezra was handling his interactions with the princess?
I think he handles her about the way anybody can handle Princess Leia. And that's just, you just do what she tells you. Cause she just has that man that just draws you, and you really don't get much of a word in edgewise when you're around her, and you either do what she says or she's just going to do what she wants to without you. And I think he learned pretty quickly to trust her judgment, which it's kind of hard for him to accept orders from somebody he doesn't know and who just comes like directly on the scene and starts bossing people around, which I would probably be the same way. Like, who are you giving orders here? You know?
Yep. I love it when they first walk up to the ramp and she comes out the door and starts walking down the ramp. He's like, "Excuse me, miss, where's your captain?" And of course she just, you know, brushes him off like it's nothing. And of course with the maglocks on this ship so they can't take off, they take an Imperial shuttle. Because, of course, they got to deliver their relief, quote-unquote, relief supplies to the people suffering from those nasty rebels. One thing I did learn through this whole thing, you know, we saw it a little bit in A New Hope, but we see it a lot in this episode. She is a great actress.
Oh, very, very great. That's why, and that's how she had to survive doing what she does for as long as she did it by pretending. I mean, she's got to play both sides at once to get her goals completed. And, you know, that it's a very long game that she plays, and it's very complicated. You know, Leia's always played it well.
Yep. Oh, she played it. And we see that in this episode, which is one great thing. One of the good things I liked about this episode was we got to see what kind of part she's playing in the rebellion. A little more than what we saw in A New Hope prior to as a princess, as a senator. We get to see how she's actually helping, going on these undercover missions to deliver ships and supplies. And of course, we see how she plans too, because of course their plans are a little off base, because they go to after the takeoff, they get a message from Chopper saying there are stormtroopers at the base where Ryder is, so they fly over there and of course try to then at this point rescue Ryder and of course Chopper and the Phantom. You know, of course the stormtroopers are under orders to just go ahead and execute Ryder because he is an escaped prisoner after all. That's what you do to escape prisoners, right? You just execute them on the site?
Pretty much. If they've escaped once, they'll escape again. Just put them down.
Exactly. Exactly. So they go through a conversation. Of course, Leia's trying to invoke the Senate's name and get some information there. And, of course, then next thing we know, the ghost shows up. And the ghost is, of course, blasting away at the stormtroopers, and unfortunately, Kanan and Ezra are, of course, still in their stormtrooper armor. And of course, this where we get some more of our comedic relief, because as the ghost lands and the ramp comes down, Zeb and Sabine come out and they're blasting away, and Chopper rolls up to the ramp and is squawking something, and Sabine's like, "No, you can't get on the ship. Go get the Phantom." He was just trying to get away and hide as usual.
It's what he's good at.
It is what he is good at, and he did it well. And then, of course, they devise a plan to, of course, get away, of course, without rising suspicion on the princess. So Ryder knocks over stormtrooper-clad Kanan and Ezra as they go running up and takes off with her, with Leia, toward the ship. And, of course, they tell, when they get there, they, of course, tell Zeb, "Hey, Kanan and Ezra are coming. They said make it look good." So, of course, what does Zeb do? He makes it look great. He knocks him out cold.
He enjoyed that way too much.
As soon as he said, as soon as they told him to make it look good, you see that grin on his face. They couldn't have drawn it any bigger. He grinned literally ear to ear, and that, and then of course he just wailed on him, knocked him out cold, then just drug their limp corpses up the ramp. And the stormtroopers that were, of course, shooting at them were looking at each other like, they take prisoners now? Since when do they do that?
I love that line.
It was great. Because it's obviously a new strategy. Very confusing. Oh, man. But it was a great interaction there. And, of course, we see Hera and, of course, meeting Ryder for the first time at this point. And, of course, Sabine and Zeb, of course, now know what about Kanan's parents, and of course are trying to console him and give him their sympathies. And of course, you know, he's still not happy. He's a kid who just found out he lost his parents again. And of course, we see that theme continuing in from the last episode where he just, you know, is trying to deal with that loss. And of course, Leia starts talking to Kanan and asks if he's okay. And Ezra, Kanan's like, you know, he's got a lot on his plate for being somebody so young. And of course, Leia can relate. So of course she goes, at the recommendation of Kanan, goes to talk to him. And of course, she talks about knowing who he is and about the message that he sent out, you know, from the communication in the first season, the message of rebellion. Stand up and fight. And of course, hearing that message, and they talk about being able to do something because you can. She's a princess. She doesn't have to fight, but she can help people. So she does. And she's like, and I know you're probably, I can tell you're the same way. And of course, that changes almost his entire perspective. And next, you know, he's hops up and he's like, let's figure out how to get your ship stolen. It was almost a very interesting connection he made, that Leia made with Ezra at this point. It was very, almost like they were on the same, they're almost on the same page. They go through, like, she knows what he's going through, being so young and having so much responsibility.
Yeah, they're very, they have very similar life experiences, because, I mean, her parents were, Well, she thought they were dead. I assume. I don't know how much she knows about any of her actual family history about at this point. I know she doesn't know. I know she doesn't know about Anakin, but I don't. Is she aware of Padme? Does she know? Do you know? I don't know. I know she knows that her. Because I know in Return of the Jedi that Luke mentions her real mom and asks her. So I'm assuming by that point she knew she was adopted.
I don't think it was something, from what I could gather, I don't think it was something that Bail ever kept from her. I'm sure growing up he told her stories of her mother, the great senator from Naboo. And of course, it was something they kept quiet. I'm sure they didn't let her out with those stories until she knew they knew she was old enough to handle it. And of course, by that point, their underground rebellion, I'm sure, was already on their way. So I'm sure he told them all about her. I'm sure he had had hollow images of her and everything. So he knew, she knew, I'm pretty sure she knew a lot about her mother, more than Luke ever would have known about his mother or father.
Okay. No, she probably had no idea who her father was.
Oh, absolutely not. Obviously she didn't know that because she was a little taken back by that part, in Return of the Jedi, obviously. Nobody knew that part. They kind of kept that one on the down low. But of course, now toward the end of the episode, of course, we see another one of the plans break out. Of course, Ryder knows how to disable the gravity locks because he helped build them when he was in prison.
Convenient.
Very convenient. Nice little convenient plot point there. So of course they're go in with Ryder to disable the mag locks while Leia is distracting the guards and the lieutenant who's guarding her ships, along with, of course, Stormtrooper Kanan and Cadet Ezra assisting her in the distracting. Of course, the first one gets disabled and goes to take off, and of course it's being flown by Sabine, who, of course, takes off. And of course, she can't just, you know, leave people in a firefight. She's going to blast. She's going to use the guns on the ship to shoot up as much as she can. And of course, those walkers, and of course, we see this in the episode here where the ghost comes in and just starts firing torpedo after torpedo at these walkers. And those suckers take a beating in this episode. I mean, they get blasted 6 or 8 times before they finally fall. Very, very well armored ship, armored vehicles. But we see a little more action in this scene. Now, one thing that interested me in this fight here at the end was, of course, Kanan in his stormtrooper armor whips out his lightsaber and cuts the legs of the walker. Did not think they would be able to cut that easy.
Yeah. I really expected him to, like, do the Luke Skywalker thing where he, like, jumps up and rips open a panel and throws in a grenade or something. But, yeah, apparently walker legs are not as strong as you would think.
Yeah, because he slices through that thing like butter. And, of course, one great scene, of course, is he's running to attack that walker with his lightsaber. He's got to run toward Ryder and Chopper, who are trying to disable the Madlock. And of course, Ryder turns around and sees him coming. And of course, all he sees is a stormtrooper. And of course, he thinks he's about to get attacked by a stormtrooper. So he pulls a blaster. Chopper stops him. Next thing you know, he sees Kanan ignite the lightsaber. And he's like, he's a Jedi. And that look of shock on his face. Because, you know, Jedis are extinct according to the Empire. They don't exist.
I think more interesting was Leia's expression, because this is obviously the first time she's been around any sort of Jedi. And, of course, we know that it's not going to be the last. So it's kind of interesting to see, like where her knowledge of Jedi comes from.
Exactly. And I'm pretty, you know, of course, I'm confident, of course, that she has experience from the stories from her father or from Senator Organa of the Jedi, and of course of the Force and that type of background information. Oh, but probably has never witnessed it like she's seeing it here with Kanan running around with the lightsaber, or of course even Ezra yanking those two blasters out of the stormtrooper's hands. And of course, even through that moment where of power, he's yanking those blasters out of your hands, we get comedic relief as he catches one and the other knocks him upside the head. Which, in an episode where we've been talking about huge growth, we have that klutz moment.
Yeah, the most impressive thing about that spot right there, and I used the word impressive, is Leia's line where she says, "That is impressive." Well, mostly because that's such a callback to Darth Vader from Empire Strikes Back. And it's so funny seeing seeing the daughter repeating, not verbatim, but almost the same line that her father's going to use before he uses it, before she even knows it's his father.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I love that. Kind of makes you wonder, like, just how much of our traits and personalities are genetic, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, one thing I do enjoy is the last cruiser that they're stealing is taking off. We see the walker turning, and it's blasting at people trying to catch the rebels. And all of a sudden, the walker turns around, and there's the engines of the ship, like right there. And whoever wrote this episode must have been a MythBusters fan, because next thing you know, they fire those engines up on high. And I don't know if you've seen that, ever watched MythBusters.
Oh, I love MythBusters. Yeah,
the airplane and the bus.
Yeah, I love it.
That's exactly what that was. They fire up those engines on high, and that walker just topples over like it's nothing. So I thoroughly enjoyed that little throw out there to, whether it was intentional or not, it was a throw out to MythBusters. That's how I'm taking it. But they should
do a throw out to MythBusters on every episode, because that show is awesome.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorites. One of my favorites outside of Rebels. I could watch the reruns every day, and I finally got my daughter into it too. So we watch it together, my year-old and I.
Yeah, my wife hates it when I have control of the TV, because it's always like MythBusters or Expedition Unknown or Mysteries at the Museum, just anything like that. And she's like, "Oh, I hate you right now." I'm like, "I don't care."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mine tries to keep the remote away from me because she knows it's going to be that or it's going to be Star Wars. So, and that's how we roll in my place. So
she can handle the Star Wars, but she's like, "I can't take these learning shows. I don't want to learn. I want to watch TV."
Oh yes. I know that. Now, of course, we end the episode, of course, with the new ships, they're calling them Hammerhead Corvettes, because I can see the Hammerhead part. Flying through the space with the rest of the fleet. And, of course, Ryder Azadi decides he's going to go back to Lothal and continue the fight that Ezra's parents started. And, of course, Leia has departed was left on Lothal to make her way back because they stole her ships, quote-unquote. So we see the Leia left on Lothal. We see Ryder Azadi decide he wants to continue the rebellion fight there on Lothal, and that's how the episode ends. So we had two really good episodes here back to back. Overall, from Legacy and of course from Princess and Lothal, what were your overall takeaways from this episode? These two episodes.
Well, the main thing was, I was finally glad to see how they transported AT-ATs, because I've always, from like the very first time I ever watched Empire Strikes Back and I saw these big machines coming up, I've always wondered, like, how do they get there? Because it's like these things are huge. And so now we finally know, they just kind of drop them off. they hang off the bottom of this flying machine, and they drop them off wherever they need them. So,
they most certainly do, don't they?
So now that mystery is forever solved, and I'm a stronger person for it. But yeah, I love this episode. I love seeing Princess Leia, and I loved it that they got her character right. I mean, it could have been really easy to get her character wrong, but I think they did a pretty good job. I would have loved to have seen Carrie Fisher do the voiceover acting for her. But like I said earlier, I can understand why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, I thought it was a very good episode. Both episodes were very emotional, and I think we need more of that.
Yes, very emotional episodes for both, mainly because the theme plays from one into the other. And they needed that continuation of Ezra's story, of him dealing with his parents. It needed to continue beyond that one episode, and I'm very glad they did. It was very it was a very dark story, dealing with the loss of his parents. Very sad. But we see a lot of growth in Ezra as well, where he finds the confidence through his newfound friendship with Leia. But then we also see some dark in him too, where he just goes utterly berserk on Kallus and wants to go berserk on the Inquisitors, but Kanan stops him. So we can see a fork coming in his path. And I'm glad that they did the continuation of that story through this episode. I think they got Princess Leia dead on. If it was a perfect performance, perfect animation, it was all around. They nailed Princess Leia in this episode, dead on. It was like watching a young Carrie Fisher on screen and listening to her, almost like she was ready to go right into A New Hope. So great job there, and I hope it's not the last we see of her in the future as well.
I'm pretty sure we'll be seeing more of her. I hope so.
It definitely would be nice. I would enjoy that. I think that she does still have a lot that she can offer. Here we go. Let's start with Legacy. Overall, for the episode Legacy, what would you give? What kind of grade would you give that episode?
Let's see. I would probably give it a 4 out of 5. I thought it impacted great. And on an emotional level, I'm terrible at grading things. I'd be a lousy teacher.
My wife's a teacher. I let her do all the grading.
See, that's just why I deal poker or blackjack, poker, whatever, because I don't have to deal with judge people. I just tell them whether they win or lose money. That's all. There you go.
That's all they need to know anyway, right?
That's right. But I really love the I love the emotional arc through both episodes, and it's you don't get very many cartoons. I hate to say cartoons, but I mean that's what this is. But it's aimed for a younger audience that can deliver the emotional impact that Rebels has and Clone Wars did in the past. That's amazing.
You're exactly right, and it's almost an injustice calling it a cartoon because of the level it has in its storytelling, and the way they bring the characters to life. It's SpongeBob's a cartoon. This is this is a life experience almost. It's almost a little injustice calling it that, but essentially you're right. That's what it is. Legacy, you know, very emotional, very deep. We get to see a lot of transformation in Ezra's character. That one, I would definitely grading it. I would give it a B. I would give it probably an A- on that one. Princess on Lothal, again, it was a great episode. They nailed the Princess Leia in this episode. I mean, phenomenal performance all around by everybody. Even though we did see some closure for Ezra in the storyline, it seemed to be a very chaotic episode. A lot going on very fast. That one, even though I thoroughly did enjoy the episode, overall I'd probably give it a B.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's where we got right now. We had some good episodes, and we got some great episodes coming up as well. Of course, definitely we appreciate you joining us tonight, James. If people want to contact you and follow you up with you or talk to you, how would they get a hold of you there, my friend?
Well, there's a couple ways. I'm available at Coffee with Kenobi. My email is jameshat@coffeewithkenobi.com. I'm also on Twitter, YHOP. It's YHOP. That's short for Yoda's House of Pancakes. Tastiest pancakes in the galaxy.
Yummy, yummy.
And I also have like a joke account, which is, I'm not very funny, but it's called Vader's_mask. And I pretend to be Darth Vader's melted helmet from Force Awakens.
He's not got this.
Yes, he has a very rough life living on that shelf with Kylo Ren. It's not pretty.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up. I did not know this was out there. I'm going to have to go find you now on there.
Like I said, it's not very funny. I attempt humor, but I'm not very good at it. I don't foresee a future in a comedy anytime soon.
All right. Well, definitely check. And you have the blog. It comes out once a month. When does that come out?
It comes out on the 10th.
The 10th of each month. So definitely check out James's blog. We got a lot of great blogs on coffeewithkenobi.com as well. Check them all out. New blogs coming out every day. Of course, if you want to, a few updates for the show. We now have our own Twitter account. So if you want to communicate directly with the show, with Rebels Reaction, send us your comments. A couple ways to do that now. We now have our own Twitter. It's at Rebels Reactions on Twitter. Find us there. The show now has its own email, rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Send us your thoughts, your feedback on the episodes. And go ahead and start doing it now. Send us your feedback as you get it. We'll include it in future episodes. Even if it's not the one we're discussing, we can definitely include them in future episodes as well. So definitely look us up. Of course, me, I'm on Twitter as well at TAHarris121079. And of course, coffeewithkenobi.com. You can find me there. But definitely, we appreciate you joining us tonight, James. It's been fun. We'll have to get you to join us again one day in the future.
Oh, definitely. I had a blast, man. This was awesome.
Excellent. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. And we will definitely do this again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, this is Coffee with Kenobi, Rebels Reactions. This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.
From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.